Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonniewell. Chuck is on his way. He's going to be a little bit late. He is stuck in traffic. Thank you, Mike Johnston and Jared Polis. We have Carl Honegger is going to be joining us here in a second. A couple of programming notes. I want to thank Mark Poff for filling in for us. Just so you guys know, Darcy Shaning is going to be filling in for us on Fridays for most of the summer. And we're kind of hit and miss days sporadically. Our son, Rev, is having a heck of a golf year. I told him I'm going to start an Instagram channel, My Golf Mom Life. And so he keeps qualifying for tournaments. So next week we're going to be in San Diego. Then we have a brief break here where we're in tournaments. And then we're in tournaments in California and Miami. I mean, it's great. I appreciate your patience and appreciate Mark and everybody who's filling in for us while we're doing all of this. Yeah, thank you, Leo. Go Rev. Exactly. And if he gets really successful, I don't know, we'll just broadcast live from the PGA Tour. Want to start off today, though, with Carl Honegger. Carl has been on our show numerous times warning about this. Jungle primaries, ranked choice voting. The people of Colorado voted it down, turned it down again, as did most people around the country, with Prop 131. But they're back. And it looks like progressives and what I would call rhinos, they're not really joining forces, but they're pushing for the same thing. And so, Carl, if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself, and thank you for joining the show once again.
Thank you. I think it's really interesting that I don't know if you pronounce his name, Zohran Mamdani, up in New York City. I guess they're saying that it's a historic win for New York City. And so they used ranked choice voting there.
Right.
And so the progressives are saying that this really shows the progressive promise of using ranked choice voting, is that the voters got something that they wanted. And what's interesting is, if we're thinking about voters, electing a socialist in New York City.
I read a thing that really, when you break it down, only about 5% of the actual eligible voters voted for this guy. Now, hopefully people will wake up and pay more attention. But I mean, you're right. This is what you get when you have ranked choice voting in jungle primaries. But you have been on top of this. And thank you for sending me an email. So folks who weren't aware, Kent Theory has been pushing this forever, a billionaire. Barb Kirkmeyer, a Colorado Weld County rhino queen, has also backing getting rid of caucus and assembly systems. And now the progressives have joined with the Courageous Colorado. They've gone on a whirlwind speaking tour around Colorado, I think speaking mostly to themselves. But they're now pushing this too, right? Essentially to get rid of Republican primaries and Democrat primaries. And they call it nice things. They call it democracy, but it's actually a jungle primary, right?
Yeah. So the recognition that it was not popular outside of Denver, and it didn't even do that great in Denver. It was Prop 131 last year because of kind of ranked choice voting. They've kind of decided outside of Denver to not focus on ranked choice voting in terms of the primaries. Now, they wouldn't have even used ranked choice voting in Prop 131 in the primaries, but they're really focused on like reusing the term open primaries. So like the promise like almost 10 years ago was like open primaries, if Colorado adopts them, it'll be great. And so New Mexico actually just passed the same thing that Colorado has, and they're calling it open primaries, but now this is like the new improved version they want for Colorado, which is a jungle primary. So they just keep trying to reuse the term because they're afraid of what it really is, a jungle primary, just everyone on the ballot. Fortunately, we can kind of see an example. I want to not just complain. I want to like point to, are there Republicans in other states that are fighting back against this? Because in
Yes.
Oklahoma, this initiative has almost been circulated. Right now, they're in oral arguments before the Oklahoma Supreme Court. And so they want to do a very similar thing in terms of kind of like jungle primaries. Well, no, actually, I think it's just Colorado system. So, like,
Right.
where you have unaffiliateds can pick whichever ballot
Right,
they
which party they
want.
want.
Yeah. And so the Republican Party of Oklahoma is fighting back against this and arguing that it's unconstitutional. And so, obviously, we don't really have that backbone right now here
No.
in Colorado. We don't have the
We
money
tried.
behind it.
Right.
But it would be a huge mistake to switch to a system where, even if it is more of a left-leaning area where you're going to have your primary. So thinking like the lower level, your state house, your state senate,
Right.
the promise that we're being given is that, well, you can just elect someone who's more moderate. The
Right.
problem is the moderates are not getting attention, as we see with actually Zohran,
Right.
partly because of just cultural factors the Republican Party right now doesn't understand, in that the Republican Party is very old and it's very filled with people who, like my parents, are boomers. And so they just thought, okay, work hard, get a college degree. And then the millennials are thinking the same thing, but they're not getting that because
Right.
we've had so much inflation. It's gone into housing prices. Housing prices haven't dropped yet, but the job market is terrible.
Right.
Horrific in Colorado.
Wow.
And so we're just going to get people like Zohran who can get people's attention
Right.
in a primary, because a primary has now shifted to just name recognition. It's
Well,
not really the door knocking so much, unless you're talking about those lower levels. And in that case, you do kind of want people knocking doors.
yeah, well, and to clarify, so people understand, because there's several things I want to unpackage here. So, because not only are the progressives wandering around the state in Colorado doing their Courageous Colorado tour, the Anschutz Industrial Media Complex and John Caldera recently wrote an editorial also pushing for, they're calling them open primaries. And you may say, well, don't we have open primaries now? That's not what they're talking about. They're playing word games. Right now, even though it's open, like you said, it's still, there's still a Democrat primary and a Republican primary, but an unaffiliated could pick one to vote on. This would get rid of that altogether. There would be one primary only, and it would be open to anyone and everyone. And the reason they call it junko primaries is so there wouldn't be a Repu and then so say if two Democrats won, then you'd vote for two Democrats, right? You would
Exactly.
vote then
Yeah.
for the two top vote getters. There would not even be a Republican on the ballot. And I mean, they call them jungle primaries, and just think about it. In the jungle, the apex predator wins. And in a jungle primary, it's the same thing. The apex predator, whether it's the one who gets the most attention, the one who has the most money, a combination of both. But the thing is to me, what's really scary, Chuck always says, you know, that you have the Democrats are the party of evil, Republicans are the party of stupid. And whenever you have something that's kind of bipartisan, it's evil and stupid. And that's what we have here right now. You've got the rhinos in Colorado, and you've got the progressives pushing for jungle primaries. And you're absolutely right. They're calling it fancy things to try to fool people. And Carl, I'm concerned about this because if that would, don't you? I mean, what kind of impact would that have in Colorado? And they want to have this by 2030, right?
Yeah, I think that it's definitely possible to have this in place by 2030,
Yeah.
which is why we need to talk about it now.
Right.
It's really concerning when, like you're saying, because Oklahoma, I think they're talking about like just the top two, or actually even Michigan. So they're working on it's nationwide, which is kind of the thing. Like Caldera talks about it
Right.
like, oh, this would be great for Colorado. It's just the way our makeup is. It's like, no, this idea is coming from Colorado, yes, but it's like, we're just the
Right.
petri dish.
Right.
So you're right. In terms of there's just this really bizarre odd number of like advancing to the primaries. The primary is not really a primary anymore. It's not about ideas. It's not about party. That's the whole reason why you have a primary. And the primary is a progressive thing that, like, Colorado was one of these leading states that adopted it early on in the 1900s because you used to have the smoke-filled rooms. Okay, so now we have primaries, okay,
Right.
for the party. But now it's like, oh, the primaries are for the voters and citizens. Like, no, primaries were designed for the parties so that you could have a discussion and you could have people knock door to door and you could talk about ideas. But now it's not going to be talking about ideas. And if you have no guarantee of certain parties being represented, you're never going to have a third party breakthrough. And in many cases, you're going to have these places where you're going to have two Democrats. And so the problem is it's kind of this fantasy that, well, at least we'll have a moderate Democrat in some areas of Denver rather than just having the Republican on the ballot but always losing.
Right.
I think there's just so many different ideas that we could like try to think about and like how to improve our voting system in Colorado, but not this.
Not this. Well, and
Not
again,
silencing people, because like why? Because then you just
right.
destroy the power of the party. You take all those state house districts that are going to go to a Democrat, and then you ensure that there's never on the general ballot ever going to be a Republican
Oh
for
yeah, and
next
here's the
50
thing.
years.
This is my thing, and I go back to when Jared Polis was first elected, and Colorado Peak Politics, which is owned and operated by Phil Anschutz, their headline said, "Hey, we can work with Jared Polis." So Phil Anschutz and the billionaires and Kent Theory, they're not pushing this because, oh, they care about the people. They're pushing this because they think it is the best way to control elections to benefit whatever their interests are, which may not be our interests. I mean, that's what you got to stop and think about. And as you said, at least at the when you have parties, you can get a grassroots candidate on. At least you can be a PCP and kind of, be involved in the system. But this would eliminate what do we need a PCP for, really, right? I mean, there is it would eliminate the parties, and my concern is, and I think the reality would be, and it would essentially put politics almost solely in the hands of the people who had the most money, or as you pointed out in the case of the New York guy, the loudest megaphone.
Yeah, so it would. I think the reason why people have such a problem with Zohran in New York City is that the corporations don't like him. And also, they're very poor. Like, if you look at actually people who did not vote for him, it's like anybody who's like below middle class, they do not want socialism.
Right.
But it's these white liberals who went to college, got miseducated, who feel like, well, he'll make us feel better about how poor people are doing. And so, unfortunately, I think we're just going to have a lot of that in Colorado is you're going to have two Democrats in a lot of the state house districts in Denver and Boulder. And in a jungle primary, you'll get two Democrats, no Republican voice whatsoever. Then you're just going to have the socialist candidate be like, I'll help poor people the most.
Right.
Because he'll just budge, like, no one thinks about the numbers, right? Very few people can actually do math beyond third grade because of our education system here in Colorado, right? Like, it's terrible. So they're just going to promise up the wazoo that poor people will have no pain. They'll have all the jobs they want, all the housing they want. They'll vote for me. We're not going to get moderates elected this way.
No, and as you said, and no Republicans. Well, and then the other concern I have about this is I go back to a few years ago, and a guy by the name, I think it was Patrick Smith, was kind of pushing this, and he was like, "And we'll pay for all of this because we'll charge people to be on the ballot, right? So if you want to be, and
Yeah.
I mean, and he was going to charge him a lot. I think to run for the U.S. Senate, you were going to be, it was going to be $50,000 or something like that. So there again, I think it's all designed to stifle on both sides. Because I think, like you said, your average moderate Democrat, I don't think likes this either. But to it's designed to stifle, I think, grassroots voices of both parties.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have just really no participation in the party anymore by anybody. There's no reason to have a party, because you're never going to get the at least like your local Women Voters League, or somebody is going to have some kind of debate where you could have a Republican presenting some views to some people who show up. And some places you'll have it televised, right? A U.S. Senate race, you're going to have televised. But we really could see like a televised debate in Colorado between two Democrats in for US Senate if we switch the general primary, because you'd have the primary, they would just be like, oh, there's tw and the problem with general primary too is if you've got 20 people on the ballot, the news media is not going to allow any debate during the primary. So no debate during primary. And then you'll get possibly two Democrats. And so you're going to have, again, like I'm saying, a socialist and a moderate, and they're both going to be Democrats. So, like, I can understand why some people dislike the Republican Party, especially if you're a corporate drone and or Phil Anschutz possibly, because the Republican Party is not as pro-corporation anymore. Yeah, you could be upset at the Republican Party, but like destroying any power it has is what's so silly. Because think also, even if you get Republicans, so it also creates a problem in areas where it is kind of more Republican leaning. So you might get two Republicans, okay? I think that's actually silly. You still need to have contrast. You need to be able to have a Democrat on the general ballot so you can have a contrast and say, this guy's nuts. Don't
Well,
vote this way.
and as you said,
Yeah.
this is bad. It's bad for both parties, and they're gonna and again, you look at like this courageous tour, and thank you for sending me the link to that. They talked about they went to 20 town halls,
Well,
and
with people from 6 to 10 people at these town halls.
which was them, I suspect. And it's all funded by it's the same people. What's it, Veterans for All Voters? What's that mean, right? It's funded by this guy, Landon Mascarenhas, who's a complete progressive, right? When you look
Oh, yeah.
at his background. And then it's also what the money also came from, what is it, Unite for America, which are the same people push the Kent Theory thing. So this is the same thing they're pushing. And they decided to take out ranked choice voting for right now because they know people didn't like that. And they're just calling it open primary. And I think that just.
Well, part of it, everything is terminology, but in actual fact, there are no primaries. There's the first round of the general election and the second round of the general election. And that's basically what they do. A lot of times in Europe, they have first rounds and second rounds. The French do it. They have a first round. And with a lot of people, even if you have a majority, I guess you still have a second round under this system. But it's just a general election. There are no primaries. It's not an open primary. It's first round of the general election and the second round of the general election among the whoever the top two were. But somehow people like to think, have a positive view toward primaries, so they want to keep the name. Did you read Caldera's column?
And
Did
that's
you?
where I think it comes across some of that little like dislike of the Republican Party. But again, like I'm saying, in terms of destroying the power, the Republican Party would have no power in those situations where it's like, let's say you have two Republicans, are going to win the primary. A Democrat could just say, I'm a Republican, because I know that's the way to win past the primary. And so they get a little bit of name recognition because they get some corporate money behind them, or they get Jared Polis' money or whatever. Like, the voters aren't going to know. So they get enough for name recognition to win the primary. And then you have two Republicans in name only. The Republican Party has no control over whether they're Republican or not. And then you could just get like true Republicans in name only, like a former Democrat 5 days ago, and then getting in the winning the primary and the general election, you're electing him in a Republican district, and then oops, he doesn't vote Republican. Well,
But
yeah,
I don't know if you
because the
met.
Republican Party has no control over him.
I got here late because I have
I don't.
doctors. But Caldera's, and I've always liked John. I've known John 30 years now, and always liked John. But he, let's just put him to pasture or just shoot him.
Ooh, don't
Something
shoot him. Don't say
humane,
that. Don't say that.
for the guy, because he used to be irreverent, witty, fun, and he really was kind of a grassroots guy. Now he's old and tired, and has a great problem getting up out of bed. And it's sad. So his analysis, if you can call it that, was that in Denver, you would get rhinos who wouldn't be stuck with the D with the R label, which he of course said it's the same as a swastika. Really? Really? I mean, it's the same as a swastika. And that what you'd have is you'd have these moderate unaffiliated, and people would, no different than the same Republican before, but he wouldn't be burdened by the R. And then therefore these UFs, these unaffiliated voters, would back all vote for him. And then that person will go to legislature and caucus with the Republicans. I mean, the odds of that of happening are pretty close to zero. The voters would realize eventually that the Democrats would realize that their local representative was caucusing with the Republicans.
And that would make the
One
story.
day it would occur to them they're caucusing with the Republicans and then not vote them in again. But so, John's a bright guy, so he doesn't believe his BS. He doesn't believe what he's saying. It has, he is just the defense attorney for Anschutz, arguing, this is self-defense or something. Whatever he can throw out there, because that's all he could come up with. So it was a sad column, a sad column for kind of a sad person these days.
I think it doesn't touch on the generational divide here in America, at least especially in Colorado, is that we've had a lot of young people move to Colorado the last so many years. I know people who actually work for Golden Van Lines who have moved a lot of people who grew up here in Colorado out. A lot of people moved in, came from other states. They were young, single, so they were okay with living in a tiny apartment, paying high prices. Those people are not these freedom unaffiliates he's talking about in terms of like. They're not concerned about fiscal conservatism. They're not concerned about how woke the left is. If someone messages to them like Zohran and says, "Hey, we're all hurting, but we got enough money, we can just borrow and blast our way to prosperity," there's no freedom unaffiliated caucus. There's no freedom unaffiliated organization. And so I think, unfortunately, Anschutz just has. He's the one who's got to bite the bullet and stop hoping for theory. He's got to just focus on teaching people how to message well and fight and grassroots and find those little tiny districts where they're on the edge. Because the Oil and Gas Association, I'm not naming names, but like you saw some people like I think R Ryan up in Greeley area, like they barely won this last election cycle. But if we can just get those like tiny little battles and keep them in place, keep these Republicans in place, we can do that. And these Republicans are kind of a more modern kind of millennial, like they're okay with weed and they're more libertarian leaning. And so like I think don't lose what we've gained and let's keep gaining. But unfortunately, it's going to look bad the next couple of years when it takes a while for Jared Polis's policies to take place. Like we're seeing that now. Like, okay, we got terrible employment, housing prices super high. They're going to drop, but we've got to somehow message these young people. And I think just making it so that you just get Democrats and Republicans depending on where you live, that's not the right way to message. I think we got to engage people more. So
Well, and that's what it's
change the election
like.
system that way.
Why? And what concerns me is there clearly is a between the listening tour, between Caldera's column, there clearly is a PR campaign that's been launched. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that? They are giving this another
By
shot
both sides
by
of
both sides.
the oligarchs of both parties. Well, basically Blueprint Colorado was four rich people got together and said, "Hey, we got enough money. We're not going to work for the party. That's a hassle getting people elected. We'll just do it ourselves.
And
We'll
control
just
each other.
run it ourselves, and then we'll get all this outside money people don't even realize out there from New York, and screw the party. We hate the party." And that's the conclusion Anschutz came to. Screw the party. I don't want to have anything to do with the party. I just want to give it to somebody, give them name recognition who will report directly to me, and get rid of all the middlemen, which are the voters. Just get them out of there. And somebody like Zohran would do great in Denver. He really would. All those people living in the
Oh yeah,
crap.
the Front Range,
Yeah, living in those
Well,
crappy
didn't we just
apartments.
have a couple months ago? We had Bernie come out, and giant. Like people have no clue, like how millennials think nowadays. Like my brother was putting a Marxist rose on the back bumper of his car. Like, we grew up the same because, unfortunately, Marxism sounds a whole lot better
It does sound
than
good. Yeah.
the corporatism that a lot of Republicans are selling.
Yes.
And yeah, moderate Democrats.
Listen, hey, so Carl, we have to let you go. Thank you. If please keep in touch and send the stuff because I think this battle is one, and it's one that we're going to be fighting here, I think, the next couple of years. And I think if we're not careful and we don't keep people educated, we might lose this time around. And so thank you for people like you who keep getting the word out there and educate people.
Good thing.
All right.
All
Thank you.
right, take care.
Yeah,
I like the backdrop on
yeah,
your
you
picture. I love
really.
the backdrop.
Carl Honegger there. So be careful. So don't be fooled by the whole open primary idea,
It's
right?
just it's just a it's
It's a
just a
con.
general election bullshit.
Right. Okay, switching gears are kind of sort of, but not entirely. Trent Lisey is also joining the show today. Hey Trent, thank
How
you
you
for
doing?
standing by
Hey
and
Trent. How you guys doing?
good. So wanted to talk to you about a whole bunch of stuff going on. Now we're gonna do some deep dives into what's going on in the Colorado Republican Party. And I want you to explain this. So you had a great event last week. It was sort of a legislative roundup. And unlike the fake unity party of Britta Horn, yours was true unity. You had people, you didn't care if they were a legislator, if they were a candidate, they were invited and they showed up at your event, right?
Yeah, I mean, so Thursday we had the Northern Colorado legislative wrap-up session, and we're going to do this annually. We had a phenomenal event. We had over 200 attendees come,
Wow.
10 gubernatorial candidates. We had nine state legislators. We had both the congressional folks up here, plus the state school board members. And they either were there in person or they sent in a video to
Big
participate in this event.
difference. Big difference
Yeah.
between those two.
Key question, was the Colorado Republican Party represented at your meeting?
No, so we had 22 very influential organizations that signed on to be a part of this and to have a table at the event. We did extend it to the state GOP. I want to give kudos out to the other two members who helped organize this, which is Keith Anderson and Sandy Figueroa. They were amazing. They're PCPs here in Weld County, amazing people, and they did a great job helping put this together. And so when we started doing this, the question came up, do we invite the state party since we invited, the four surrounding counties that, are in Northern Colorado? And, originally Britta Horn had said yes, that they were going to be a part of this. And I had kind of been in contact with her, just filling her in on information as we started getting closer. And this was a month ago when we first started
Okay.
planning
So they
this.
said yes. They pledged they were going to come.
They
Okay.
pledged they were going to come. And then it was confirmed the 2 nights or so before the event that they were going to come, that they themselves, Britta, wasn't going to be able to attend. Obviously, they don't have a vice chair right now, and that they were going to have volunteers run
Natalie
the
Tennant was coming,
thing.
wasn't she?
Yeah, so my understanding was is that, from the state party, that Natalie Tennant was going to be their representative here. And I don't know. I know there was going to be a few others, so I don't exactly know who other than Natalie was going to do it. For us, we didn't care. We just wanted everybody to be there. We wanted,
Right.
my message to Britta was, hey, this is an opportunity for you to fundraise, connect with the voters. Like, we don't care. We don't care what side of the Republican Party you lie on. We just want this to be an event where people can come, they can hear from people, they can learn, they can connect, and it's just more of a unifying event. And
Right.
so,
Well, and to kind of set so people, just to kind of keep this in perspective, I mean, this happens. I mean, Adams County has tables and everything. For the Republican Party to have a representative at this event, I mean, that would be really, frankly, somewhat expected, right? I mean, this is kind of what they do. So it was perfectly normal for you to invite them, perfectly normal for them to say yes.
and where is the event held?
the event was held at Resurrection Church in Loveland, right off of Crossroads Boulevard and County Road 5. So it was pretty much a very centralized between Larimer and Weld County, and then Adams County came and they had some representation
Right.
from Adams And so, unfortunately, Boulder couldn't be there because they had their executive meeting that night. So they weren't able to participate, but it was really disappointing. So basically what happened was is that, a post got posted on Twitter by the state party encouraging people to come to the event and to participate in the straw poll. And so I didn't know about it. One of the members helping on this committee, reached out and said, "Hey, do you know anything about this?" And I said no. So then I reached out. I saw the post. I reached out to Britta, and I thanked her for coming, being coming and wanting to be a part of this and showing unity and, using this opportunity to really try to bring and coalesce everybody together. And I just said, "Hey, I noticed that you guys were going to be doing a straw poll because we had the governor candidates there." And I just said, "This just isn't the time and place for
Right.
this. And this is not what this event is designed. It's not a debate. It's not a forum with the governor candidates." And we didn't really feel like that this was the right venue to be in. Now, if they want to have a debate somewhere else, bring in all the candidates and do a straw poll, that's on them. And I was
Well, of
very
course, it's your
kind.
party. It'd be like if Chuck and I were having a party and we invited Britta and she came and she was totally chill. She goes, "Oh, and everybody show up at Chuck and Julie's party and we're gonna have a circus there." And I'm like, "What circus? When? Oh, it's our party, right? You don't get to show up at somebody's event." And as you said, doing a straw poll is gonna change the nature of it anyway, and just assume that you can do a straw poll. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It would have been nice had they reached out and said,
Yeah, just
"Hey,
ask.
is this something we can do at there?" And so I sent a very kind and respectful message to Britta. I asked her, for the opportunity to talk to her the day before the event, so the next day. So this happened 2 days before the event. And I got a call around 11:30 in that morning from a guy named Alec or Alex or something with the state party.
Yeah, he's the
Yes,
executive
he's executive
director.
director,
Yeah,
right.
and he was not very kind to me at all. I've never met the guy. Don't even know. I wouldn't even know what he looked like if he was sitting in this room, sitting in a room of a bunch of people. And he basically just said he was calling on behalf of Britta Horn and that they are pulling out of the event, that they've removed all advertising that they've done for this event off of their social media platforms, and that they're distancing themselves from this event. And I was like blown away, like, what the heck is going on? And I asked him, I said, "Well, the only logical thing for me is to think that this has to do with the straw poll." And he just kept saying, "I'm not going to talk about it. You can talk to Britta Horn about it, but she
But
can't
you
talk
can't
to
really. I
me."
can't actually talk to Britta Horn because, yeah.
But you couldn't. If you could talk
Well,
to Britta Horn, you could talk to her.
I mean, I just was really like, I wasn't expecting this phone call, and I'm trying to get the last minute details worked out and the order put together. And so I was a little bit shocked by this call. And I asked, "Hey, can Britta reach out and talk to me?" And he said, "Absolutely not, that Britta's busy until Monday."
Very busy.
He's busy.
Very, very busy. You
And
know,
I'm
that's a
like,
busy woman.
well, that's strange, And so, I mean, it all around, it was just really disappointing. And so,
And as you said, he wasn't particularly pleasant about it, right? There was no, first they promised to come. It's an event that you would absolutely expect him to be at anyway. There was no controversy. This was unified for a change, actually, right? And all of a sudden, out of the blue, they pull out in a rude manner. And you said what? He even then accused you of taping the phone conference.
Well,
Like,
yeah,
what?
because I was like, for me, like I ask, I'm very inquisitive. So I'm like, okay, like help me understand, like just be honest, right? And I kept telling him, like, just be honest. Like, if it has to do with this, with doing this, then just say, "Hey, we're not going to come because we want to be able to do a straw poll. And because you're not letting us do a straw poll, we're not going to come." And, after about, 4 or 5 questions of trying to understand what they were trying to do here, he flat out just said, "Are you taping me? Are you taping this conversation?" And I
Was
said,
it safe?
"No." I said, "No, but I should be, shouldn't I?" I mean,
Yeah.
it just didn't make any sense. And then he just said, "I gotta go," and just hung up
Extremely
the
hostile.
phone.
Well, which here begs a question then, and this is something So, the Republican Party under Britta Horn, they started sending out emails. I mean, the governor's race isn't for a while, right? And there's like a bunch of people in it. And they started sending out straw polls. And I thought that was odd. And to me, here's the thing about this is number one, the rudeness. Number two, the lack of unity. But it's like, what the frick is going on with this straw poll? What is Britta trying to pull with the straw poll? Because it seems to me to have some bigger, and maybe I'm just paranoid and conspiracy theory anymore, but it seems to me to have some clearly some bigger thing that they're pushing it hard. And if you aren't going to let them do a straw poll, they're not even going to come. It's like, what are they trying to do with the straw poll? I mean, I don't know. What do you
Yeah,
think?
I mean, that's a great question. I mean, when I got the email, what they sent it out 2 weeks ago or so, trying to get people to do the straw poll, and then, them pulling out the event because they couldn't do the straw poll. It just, I mean, of course, my mind wonders, like, okay, is there a specific candidate you're trying to push? Are you trying to narrow down the field? And in my opinion, it's like, okay, you guys threw a fit about Dave Williams pre-primary endorsing candidates. Okay,
Yes.
fair. Okay, fair. Okay, but why are you meddling? It's not the state party's job to meddle in the governor's race. Let these people fight it out. There's 14 candidates in the race. Let them figure out who's going to be on the general election ballot. And really, the job of the state party between now and the once we know the day after the primary and once we know who the candidate is to fundraise the crap, because we already
Right.
know that Bennett, we all know Bennett's going to be the candidate. Okay, he's the
Right.
chosen one. And so he's sitting back and he's collecting money while we're in fighting and we got all this stuff going on. And then, when it comes to June of next year, our coffers aren't going to be where they should be, and because we're too busy meddling in this. And I've asked a couple of the governor candidates, what their thoughts were about this, that when they were there, on Thursday, and we all kind of have the same line of thought that there's probably one or two candidates that they're trying to narrow down, and I kind of think I have who I think it is, but
Who? It's not a
what's
secret. Who's
that?
there?
I don't know. I
Well, go ahead.
mean,
It's not a knock on them. Who do you think
Yeah, I
they
don't know
like?
who all the 14 are,
Who
so.
do you think they like?
I mean, I think they're going to go with somebody who's not a true conservative like, we are. I think they're
Oh,
going
yeah.
to go with somebody who is more of a Americans for Prosperity or Ann
Okay, well, who would that
Schutz
be? Who
or
would
somebody like
be the
that.
American? Who?
Is there anybody that's I mean, my sort of sense was that they hadn't an establishment candidate hadn't declared yet, but have there been some? I'm not up to speed on who all of them are.
I mean, there's a lot of them that I've never even heard of. I mean, obviously, that I would say the two top people right now are going to be Greg Lopez and William McBride. I would say are probably the top two. Those are the only two that I recognized in terms of names
I
that
like
were there.
Scott
Who's
Bonham. Yeah.
William
Oh,
McBride?
and
Scott Bottoms. I'm so sorry,
Yes.
Scott. Sorry, Scott.
Well,
Yeah, Scott's
here's
up.
what I
Yeah, so
think.
the
And I'm
top
just going to
three would
say,
be those guys.
I think this is what I think. I think that you're right. In spite of all of their complaints about Dave Williams at least openly saying who he supports, I think they're trying to rig it. And I think they need this straw poll to see who the strong candidates are so that they can get in and rig it before anybody
Well,
realizes what's going on. That's what I
all
think.
straw polls at CPAC always gives a little boost to whoever wins the straw poll,
Yeah.
so they could give a little boost. But on a bigger picture, the chances of Republican winning in 2026 are almost nil against Bennett. There really are extremely low chances. He's going to be massively outspent, and there's very little that you'd say, well, we got to get our candidate because the governor's race. They put up the attorney general and she's awful and we got a great chance. They don't have a great chance. So why would they
No,
risk everything?
and I mean, there's to me, there's two roads here. There's either one that there's already a candidate declared that they're trying to hopefully push, or there's one that they haven't declared yet, and they're kind of seeing, if
That's
that
what I
person
think. That's what I
may not
think.
have, yeah. And I, there's some out there. What I would love to see the state party do is is really focus on one or two of these statewide races, whether it's the attorney general race, whether it's the governor's race, whether it's the secretary of state race, really focus on finding
One
good
we could
candidates.
win.
Yeah, and we have a long shot. I mean, and that was the whole point of this deal, was to kind of set the stage that 2026 is going to be a very crucial election year for Colorado. I mean, we have every statewide executive branch office up for election, all the House 65 House seats up for election. We were able to get out of the super minority. There's some super close races with Rebecca Kelty and Dan Woog and Ryan Gonzalez that we have to focus on
Let's
keeping.
focus on the ones we can. Well, here's the thing. So, because I want to move on to something else, I wanted to get your opinion on. I think to kind of sum it up, keep your eye on whatever Britta and Alec are doing with this straw poll, because something fishy is going on, right?
It is
Something
something fishy.
fishy is going
I
on there.
heard behind the scenes, that Barb Kirkmeyer wants to run. I don't know
Ooh.
why she wants to run. It seems to be,
That could be.
fairly ridiculous and fairly, she wouldn't, it'd be, it would, she would have a very small chance of winning. But a straw poll to identify her strongest opponents, I can't see that. So
But something fishy.
it's some weird thinking. I don't know if it's Alec or somebody's going, we need a straw poll. I mean, that's.
And well, then backing up. So again, so the rhinos in the party jumped up and down and gnashed their teeth about Dave and the Republican Party endorsing candidates. And we've got a weird situation going on up there now. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this. So we have the vice chair position is coming up, and Britta is ignoring all of the requests to have it at least be in person. She's just like, see no people here, no people speaking with. But what's interesting is so Lauren Boebert, who I think thanks to her we have Britta as the chair. She was whipping votes for Britta in March. Has kind of done an about face and is trying to, I think, reestablish her grassroots street cred and endorsing Mark Hampden. I'm glad she is. I love Mark Hampden for the vice chair. But then, bizarrely, I mean, I don't think we've ever had congressional members jump in a vice chair race. Bizarrely, we now have Gabe Evans, Jeff Crank, and Jeff Hurd endorsing Richard Holtorf to do it, sort of setting, I mean, what do you make? I mean, this.
Congressmen usually
Yeah,
don't
they
get
don't usually get this in.
involved because, by and large, all you're going to do is
Just
annoy some people.
right.
So you kind of like, oh no, whoever you guys like for vice chair, I like him too. No, he's gonna no, they're gonna fight it out for the all-important, high-paying vice chair job. I mean,
And I'm
what?
starting to wonder if maybe the Americans for Prosperity boys are gearing up to primary, have somebody primary Lauren. But what do you make of that? I mean, I just found that an also
Well,
interesting.
I was shocked. I mean, I was surprised that they all came out on this, I think roughly the same day or the day
Within a
after,
couple of days, yeah.
where it's split like that. I didn't even fathom they would even get involved in this deal. And Douglas County's changing, and we saw that with the election this past week with the Home Rule Charter. And even Lauren won Douglas County by less than 150 votes, I think, against her Democrat opponent was Teresa or something, during the general election ballot, or general election. And so, I don't know if there's going to be, I would imagine there's going to be a huge focus on flipping Douglas County blue. And maybe by doing that, they'll see a trickle effect throughout CD4. But I mean, Lauren has done an amazing job for us here in CD4 and for the state of Colorado. There's some things I wish she would have done differently, but that's
But
the
it's just
past.
weird to see this.
And yeah.
It's weird to see this go, which goes always to
And
my.
particularly weird because, I don't know how quite to handicap it, but it's no better than a, it's a 50-50 shot, just like the chairman is a 50-50 shot. So they have a good chance of being embarrassed. I mean,
Well, they do. Yeah.
yeah.
And so
Well,
why
Chuck,
go there?
too.
Well, and then you're the other thing too, because I want to again, Britta with her lack of unity party. So for folks who don't know, there's going to be this vote for the vice chair, and it's going to be an all online vote. Now I'll just point out that Britta and the Coosters threw a hissy fit when Dave Williams tried to have an all online vote, but suddenly that's okay. Regarding the opt out, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. You probably are. So the Colorado Republican Party, as everybody knows, is pursuing opting out of the open primary. And Britta and Barb Kirkmeyer and the powers that be who are really controlling things in the Republican Party in Colorado right now don't want that. They don't want that. And so, but the members, we signed the petition, we presented it to Britta saying, hey, look, we voted before to hold the special meeting. We want to hold the special meeting now. And Britta's response was kind of like, huh. I mean, it wasn't even a
No,
response.
her response was literally refer to Article 7 of bylaws. That's the response, which is not saying your petition doesn't meet it. It doesn't say your petition does meet it. It doesn't say anything. It does just vaguely acknowledge that something was turned in. And it's you know, if you know, there's they have the signatures and they'll call their own meeting and then. What Britta will do about that is nothing, probably. Then, assuming the opt-out is adopted, part of the petition is to have
John Temple.
John Temple delivered to the Secretary of State and tell him to note that in this upcoming one. In which case, she'll probably do nothing, and the grassroots will have to sue her to try to get the court
Well,
secretary to do it. But it's just. I don't know. Britta is the strangest
chair.
duck I've ever seen as a chair.
Yeah, I mean, I really, I mean, obviously the vote didn't go the way I would have loved the vote to have gone. But this is what we have, and I really, I think everybody pretty much gave her, the benefit of the doubt that okay, you're the unity party, you're going to bring people together, let's do that. And then when Daryl resigned, it was like, and then of course he went scorched earth on what happened, and it really opened up, I think, a lot of people's eyes to what's going on here. And really, whether it's Mark Hampton or it's Richard Holtorf, and obviously I like Mark Hampton and I hope that he wins, I think we're going to be there's not going to be any change in terms of I think there's
No,
still going to be
no.
a lot of infighting because Mark's a very principled conservative person, and I know that's the direction he wants to go. And then you got Richard Holtorf, who I like Richard just because his bombastic personality. I like to give him a hard time about stuff, and he's so strong-headed that I think he's going to want to run the party over Britta, and so I think
Hold
there's
on.
going to be a
Hold on, buddy. I was going to stick my nose in this. By the way,
This is
this
Barney.
caller does not necessarily represent the views of the host. I heard that dumb son of a bitch on KNUS today. And all we heard about, well, wait a minute. Let me tell you where I'm at. I gave up on the party, but I still sit back and hope that, something good's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you where I'm at. I'm not going to get along with you. How am I going to get along with a party that wants to go with this trans crap? And the frickin' Second Amendment. It ain't gonna happen, buddy. And by the way, if you hate Dave Williams, you're in. That's what it sounds like with Britta. As long as you hate Dave Williams, and personally, I think Dave was a little bit too nice of a guy. But no, screw this shit. You guys want the party back. Look it. He heard we heard
So
about
tell
his
us about what happened
announcement.
on KNUS. What happened on KNUS?
Oh, he
I'm
was on
not quite.
KNUS telling
What?
everybody that we have to get along. He goes on and on about a battleship and I don't know, a stupid analogy. By the way, to your guy here, you're a really nice guy. We do not need the Ross Perot get under the trunk and find out what's wrong with the car. We really do know what's going on. We don't need the stupid analogies. So the bottom line is he gets on there for quite a good little bit and tells everybody how we have to get along. And then he tells us, oh, Britta's dealing with attorneys. No shit, she's dealing with attorneys because they're crooked as
Listen,
shit.
Brian,
And Jeff,
we're gonna go. Let me, poor Trent
all
is
right,
looking.
sorry, buddy.
No, come back
This
on.
vice chair guy does not need to go to him.
Barney's
Love
a
you guys.
long time.
Sorry. Sorry,
Long
Chuck
time
and
no
Julie, you
Trent.
can
He's a
hate
good
me for.
listener, and we love him, Trent. But as you can tell, he's there. And I see Jacob has his hand up. Guys, we got to go, unfortunately. Trent, I want to thank you. And everybody, come back on Wednesday because we'll go over all of this again on Wednesday. And Jacob, whatever's on your mind, we'll get to that too. And Barney, you'll have to call us up on Wednesday and fill us in on
A little
that.
before the end of the show, because you.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a good way to end. A little excitement and on a high note.
Yeah, I don't even know who it is, but it's like, okay.
Yeah.
He's passionate. Well, thank
Yeah.
you. I mean, I think the thing is that something's fishy going on, and I think we need to keep our eyes open. And Trent, thank you so much for your
Good
time and for all you're doing up there in Northern Colorado.
job.
Hey, thank you guys for all you do.
All right, thank
Okay, take
you.
care.
Barney rocks. Thank you, Barney. Jacob, come back. Hey, everybody, we'll see you on Wednesday.